Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this 8th of May 2019. I'm your host, Surreal Gerald Quinn, discussing the world of sports and pop culture. Happy birthday, Cree, my niece, happy 26. She is just a tremendous and special young lady who just continues to amaze me every year that passes. So I hope she's enjoying her birthday out there. Wanted to acknowledge her. I'm glad to be, I'm operating at about 85%. You know, it's allergy season, you know, sinuses. But unlike Joel Embiid, I'm going to give you all of my energy. I'm not coming in. Nah. I'll give you everything because you deserve it. You deserve it. Who cares about my allergies? Who cares? But I am operating at about 85%. Hopefully before the program ends, it'll be about 90% or so. Big night as far as the NBA goes. I think that you have one series that is to me, already a classic that is about to be epic in terms of the nightcap with Golden State. In Houston, you have another that could signify the end of a, I'm not going to say an era, but could signify a change in where their franchise is going in terms of Boston and in terms of Boston, what the Boston Celtics, I expect that the Celtics will be eliminated tonight. I think that's going to happen. I think the Celtics are done tonight. I think that, the series was over when two things, when Giannis figured the Celtics out after game one, and two, when Kyrie Irving was bitching and moaning after game three about the officials. Those are two instances that I thought that this series was over. So I expect Milwaukee to absolutely wrap this up. I don't expect any minimal pushback by the Celtics. I don't think the Celtics have anything left. And I'm telling you right now, in regards to Boston and Milwaukee, if you want to know what the difference between a number one and number two is, look no further than this Boston and Milwaukee series. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak, is a number one personified. He's a player that you can build a championship team around and can be the best player on a team that can win a championship. And I would not be shocked at all if the Milwaukee Bucks won the championship. I'm not saying they're going to win the championship, but I would not be shocked or the least bit surprised if the Milwaukee Bucks are your 2019 NBA champions. This guy right now is playing at a level in which he has gone against the grain of what NBA, in terms of how NBA basketball is played. Everybody tells you 3-point shots from 28, 30 feet. This guy says, no, I'm going to the basket all the time. I'm going to put the pressure on the officials. I'm going to get to the line. I'm going to be a one-man fast break within a half-court setting. Think about that. He doesn't need 94 feet to be a fast break. He doesn't need a long rebound off a missed shot to be a fast break. He can be a one-man fast break in a half-court setting. That is how lethal he is. He is like Shaquille O'Neal. He's a skinnier version of Shaquille O'Neal with ball handling skills. These past two performances in Game 3 and Game 4 have been epic, transcendent performances. Understanding time and score, knowing what his team needs, patience, leadership, killer instinct. I thought game two was the biggest game of his career. Coming off of game one, you get embarrassed. Okay. Your first shot of adversity as a star, possibly more than likely the MVP. You go out in game two, get off to a slow start, but you get to the free throw line and you have a big third quarter, and the rest is history in terms of that game. He has not looked back. And now forget about the Boston Celtics not having an answer for him. There's nobody in the NBA that has an answer for that dude. He's 24 years old. There's no one that has an answer for him. And he plays the game the way it should be played. I'm not kissing opponents' asses. I'm about my teammates. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to rebound the basketball. I'm going to play both ends. And I have confidence in all of my abilities. I'm not a great shooter, but you know what? If they give me a three-point shot, I will take it. I will take it. He doesn't need a consistent jump shot. He really doesn't. He doesn't need a consistent jump shot. As long as he has the confidence to take a three-point shot or jump shot, that's all he needs. That's all he needs. There's no one that can stay in front of him. And I think what you're watching in terms of the Greek Freak is a guy who is a coming of age superstar, and a guy who, you know, you watch players grow up, you watch them, take their lumps, figure things out. You're watching a guy who is a combination of everything as far as athleticism, intelligence, the killer instinct. He has everything. You're building a team right now. You got one player to take. That's the guy you're taking. With all due respect to Kevin Durant, with all due respect to Kawhi Leonard, that is the guy you're taking. And it shouldn't even be a discussion. No one had Milwaukee as a legit title contender coming into the season. Nobody. People are talking Golden State, Houston, Boston, Philly, Toronto. Nobody was talking about Milwaukee. No one. So, again, I expect this series to be wrapped up tonight. I don't think Boston has anything left. The flip side to being the number one is the number two in terms of Kyrie Irving. Now, I'm a Kyrie Irving fan. I know how skilled he is. I understand that he has the balls to take any shot at any time. He finisher, closer. Like, Kyrie Irving can do everything that you would want out of a offensive player at the point guard position. Kyrie Irving is not a number one on a championship team. And there's nothing, that is not an insult for me to say that you are not the best, you can't be the best player on a championship team. It really is not. It's not. Those players are few and far between in the history of the sport. Even in today's NBA, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, the list is very short. Guys who you at this moment are number one players on a championship team, could be the potentially number one players. Kawhi Leonard is on that list. LeBron is not at that point right now. Right now, at this moment, 2019, LeBron is not the best player on a championship team. If the Lakers were to win a championship, LeBron would not be their best player. You're telling me you're getting Anthony Davis. You're telling me you're getting Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant joins the Lakers. Kevin Durant is the best player. If Anthony Davis joined the Lakers and they won a championship, then Anthony Davis would have had to perform as their best player on the team. That is not a title that just that we can just that you could just toss around. Best player on a team that could win a championship. There's nothing wrong. There have been a lot of great number twos in the history of basketball. Kevin McHale, Scottie Pippen, David Robinson, Joe Dumars. Nothing wrong with being number two. But if you look at the Celtics, how the Celtics play, their mentality, how they go about their business versus how Milwaukee goes about this business, goes about their business and plays, look no further than the leadership. Giannis versus Kyrie. Look no further. Celtics have more talent than Milwaukee. They really do. Now, Milwaukee, I think, has a better idea of what they want to do and what they're trying to do, which is, no, I just said the same thing, I'm sorry. But as far as talent, Celtics have more talent than Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee has the best players, number one, and they have pieces that fit. They have pieces that fit. So it's going to be a very intriguing summer for the Boston Celtics. Let's see, their season's done. I don't have any confidence in the Celtics tonight. None. None. None whatsoever after what I saw in Boston. I mean, do you really want to go back to Boston and get eliminated on your home floor? I expect Giannis to go out there 35, 15, and 5. Brogdon apparently is going to come off the bench. I think that's a smart move considering how well George Hill has been playing. The bench players in Milwaukee have been playing. So Budenholzer has always been kind of conservative about bringing guys back from injuries. This is an instance where he has a right to be conservative as far as Brogdon because the team right now is rolling. You don't want to kind of throw him into the you don't want an Orlando situation back in 2009. If you remember, Orlando was playing great basketball. They got to the finals. Jameer Nelson had gotten injured early, like later in the season. Rafer Austin played great throughout the course of the playoffs. They tried to re-inject Jameer Nelson. It didn't work out. It wouldn't matter. They wouldn't beat the Lakers regardless in the finals. But it wasn't the right move. Rafer Austin at that time was a better player than Jameer Nelson in terms of healthy Rafer Austin versus coming off an injury Jameer Nelson. So that was a mistake, but it wasn't a big mistake in my it didn't to me it didn't cost him a championship. But Orlando would have been better off with Rafer Austin continuing getting the starters minutes, continuing as he if he continued to get the big minutes and not have to look over his shoulder at Jameer Nelson. But that's not, Milwaukee won't have anything to worry about from that standpoint. They're fine. They have again, they have the best player in the conference. They have, top three player. They have the MVP of the league. They have a guy who wants in the worst way this year to win a championship. And somebody who is starving to get better each game in and game out. I really am a fan of Giannis and the type of style and what and how his approach to the game. And that's one thing that Kyrie really did a horrible job with in game four. His approach as a veteran player, as a guy who's been on a championship team and been to the finals four times, his approach that game four was awful. He's taking a number, he's taking bad shots, he's rushing his pace as far as everything was frantic. Everything, he really, he played like somebody, he was looking like Russell Westbrook. He's looking out of control, bad shots. He looked unnerved. He did not look like a guy who had been on a team that who had been a part of teams that had been to the finals and had won a championship, coming back from 3 games to 1 in 2016. So it's one thing to miss shots, one thing to turnover, have a high number of turnovers. It's another thing for your approach at this stage in your career to be poor. And he had a poor approach to the game. Celtics took 41 threes in that game. Celtics are not a great three-point shooting team. They're streaky at best. That's being kind at best three-point shooting team. They're not great. They're not Golden State. They're not Houston. They're not Milwaukee as far as high percentage three-point shooting team. They have no business taking ever taking 41 threes in any game. Ever. They should take 41 threes in a game. So I expect Milwaukee to take care of business and move on to the next round to where they will face the Toronto Raptors. Last night, the Raptors took the Sixers behind the woodshed and handled their business. Philly blew their chance to win that series in game four. Philly easily could have won game four at home. If they would have won a game four, I think they would have won the series. They win the series probably in six. But the just not knowing whether or not your best player, your franchise player, whether or not you can depend on your franchise player, that is something that you can't that no franchise, I don't care even if it was Golden State, can overcome. I mean, listen, I don't even know what to make of what is going on with Joel Embiid. I really don't. I know his knee is not in the greatest of shape. I can like excuse a bad knee. I can excuse that, but you're talking about having the shits. You're talking about a stomach ache, respiratory. Like I do. No one wants to hear about that in basketball. Like no one. Unless you're throwing up on the floor, unless you like no one cares, unless it's some type of physical ailment, ankle, knee, back. I mean, Paul George is going to have rotator cuff surgery that's going to keep him out through, into training camp. That's a real injury, and he played with it and did not complain. Didn't to his credit, did not complain. And everybody knew he was hurting. That is a injury. That's an injury. Didn't play great, but he was there for his team night in, night out. Oklahoma City never said, "Hey, is Paul George going to play tonight?" Never. Again, I don't think Embiid is soft. I don't. I'm not saying Embiid is soft. He's not. I just don't know. I think, it's like when somebody, you ever meet somebody who constantly talks about being sick, and it gets to a point to where they talk so much about being sick, they end up getting sick. I'm not feeling well. I'm not feeling well. I'm not feeling well. The next thing you know, they have a cold. It's just when you start, I guess it's mental to me. When you start speaking things into existence, they happen, good or bad. I really think his ailments are in his head. Because it's been one thing after, forget about the knee. Let's put that aside. Let's put that aside for a second. You got gastritis, you got the shits one day, next day you got respiratory, you can't breathe the next day. Like what are we talking about here? Like in order for like again, and this is where Embiid has to grow up. Unless it's an injury that's going to keep you out the game, shut the fuck up about how you feel or about what's going on. Unless the injury is going to keep you out the game, shut the fuck up about your ailments. Like seriously, like no one wants to hear, no one cares. It's the playoffs. So I don't get it from that standpoint. He's still a young player. He's still growing. I'm a fan of him. I love his game. You have to love his game. But this has not been, the playoffs have not shined. He is not, he's shown some ifs. He's shown some real weaknesses mentally throughout the course of these playoffs and with these ailments and treatments and all this and all this other garbage. It's really hurt the Sixers. Because I picked Toronto in six, but I'm telling you right now, after game three, I'm looking at that team. I'm looking at the series. I'm saying they are physically, Toronto physically cannot handle Philadelphia. Philadelphia is just tougher. And I'm not so sure if Embiid was healthy and if Embiid was being the type of leader that his talent demands he should be, that Toronto, that Philadelphia would not win this series in six games. I mean, this really has to bother you, not only as a Philadelphia fan, but if you are a part of that franchise, thinking about what direction your team is going to go in, how can you gauge your future? How can you gauge what type of team that you have based on what we've seen in the playoffs? And the reason why I say that is, what if Embiid was the kind of leader and was healthy? What could his playoff run look like? If Embiid's healthy and Toronto wins in six games, then you know what? You might have to, make a couple changes. Maybe Jimmy Butler, maybe Tobias Harris, maybe you can't keep those four together. But again, they're going to have some tough decisions to make in the offseason, without question. Without question. And as far as Ben Simmons goes, listen, coming into this year, probably had been no bigger Ben Simmons fan out there that was a non-Philadelphia fan, Sixer fan than myself. I can't rock with Ben Simmons as far as defending him anymore. Ben Simmons, he has not grown or improved as a player. I don't understand how a guy with the type of skill set, the type of talent he has, doesn't have the confidence to take a jump shot. Like, the Greek Freak is not a great shooter. He is a average to mediocre jump shooter, 3-point shooter. The numbers say he is mediocre. He takes the shots. And you know what? The last couple of games, the last series or so, they actually have been going in at a decent rate, because he has the confidence to take the shots. You're telling me that a guy who is a superior athlete, a superior passer, a superior finisher, an above average defensive player, that guy does not have the confidence in his own skill set to take a jump shot? Everybody talks about Ben Simmons needs a jump shot. No, Ben Simmons needs the confidence to take a jump shot. Let's go baby steps. I gotta be Clay Davis. Crawl, walk, and then run. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Whoever is talking to him, whoever's advising him, his shooting coach, they are doing a shitty job. Get Chip Englund, get some real people that know what the hell they're doing as far as a jump shot. Really, get rid of your own people. Get some real professionals, because it is a absolute. It's frustrating to watch Ben Simmons play basketball. It really is. It's frustrating to watch him play basketball, to just waste that talent. So, again, the Sixers are, Sixers are the Sixers are who they are. I expect that Toronto will wrap up that series tomorrow night and move on to play Milwaukee. That Milwaukee-Toronto series will be a classic series. Giannis versus Kawhi Leonard. I'll be looking forward to that series. But it's going to, without question, it's going to happen. It's not a matter if, but when. As far as the nightcap tonight, you had with Houston and Golden State. This has been one of the just most fascinating and intriguing series that I've seen in a long time. I would have to think back to, man, Lakers Celtics they met twice in 3 years, but it was more about the history. This is like Lakers Kings, to be honest with you. This is like Lakers Kings. I have not been as fascinated with the series since Lakers Kings, and that's what that was 2002. So you're talking about 17 years. These two teams are, you know, gold, like Houston is kind of like Golden State's kryptonite as far as the style of play. We say, you know, Houston style play should not be able to win a championship, and we don't like watching it, the dribble, 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 slowing it down, all the threes, the whining, the bitching to the officials, the isolation. But it has given Golden State all kinds of fits. Let's be honest. They are just pushing Golden State around. They're more physical. PJ Tucker is looking like Dennis Rodman in Detroit, not Chicago or San Antonio. Dennis Rodman, Defensive Player of the Year, Dennis Rodman, Hall of Famer, Detroit, the bad boys days. I mean, they really are under the skin of Golden State. Now, Golden State still has the best talent. They still have two of the next three games at home. But I'm telling you right now, Houston has as good a chance this year. I think they even have a better chance this year to beat Golden State than even they did last year. Golden State is thin right now with the bench. They're only playing Golden State only in this series. Well, throughout the course of the playoffs, Golden State only has eight players averaging double digits in minutes. Last year, that number was at 11. But again, I don't want to hear about that from a standpoint in terms of lack of depth from Golden State, because bottom line is the last two regular seasons, Golden State has not played hard at all throughout the course of the regular season. They've rested players, they've gone through the motions. So I don't, they, those guys should be fresh as daisies considering what, how they've played, how they've, their approach to the regular season the last 2 years. So there's no excuse. They still have four All-Stars. They still have the best player in the series, and they still have championship pedigree that Houston does not have. Golden State still should win this series. But right now, I just don't know. It is a, to me, it is 51-49 Golden State. It really is. It's basically a toss-up at this point. The games have been great, though. I mean, all games have been decided basically within in the last minute, within 6 points, a couple possessions. And you're seeing, listen, Harden has had some moments. I'm not a Harden fan, but he's, you know, last two games, he's played well. We already talked about Eric Gordon has been Houston's second best player. And, you know, there are rumors swirling around that Klay Thompson allegedly is not happy about, you know, the amount of shots that he's getting, they're down from the regular season, down from past playoff years and years with Golden State. How about Klay Thompson take on Eric Gordon? Like, he's allowed to guard Eric Gordon because Eric Gordon is having his lunch, breakfast, and dinner on Klay Thompson or whoever's being guarded by Eric Gordon. He's destroying them. Iguodala cannot, you know, he Iguodala is responsible for Harden. He's that. That is, that's the main reason why, that's the number one reason why Iguodala is starting right now, to play against and guard James Harden and to take some of the defensive pressure off Kevin Durant from having to deal with James Harden. So Klay Thompson, even if he's not making shots, he's allowed to slow down Eric Gordon, who has been the second best. Eric Gordon's been the second best player in this series. If I were ranking it right now, I would go Durant, Gordon, Harden in that order, and probably Draymond Green after fourth. So forget about making shots. Klay Thompson needs to step up his defense on one Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon has absolutely had his way in this series. The series has been again. It's been a great series. I would be shocked if it doesn't go seven. I think Golden State will win tonight. I would not be surprised. Listen, I wouldn't be surprised if Golden State lost tonight and then won at Houston, and then, you know, game seven, it was, who knows? I think the series is destined to go seven. I really do. I think this is one of these classic series. I think these teams, you got a lot. You got what, 4 to 5 Hall of Famers on the court. The one edge Houston has moving forward as the series goes along is the depth. They have Austin Rivers. They have guys that they trust. Even Shumpert, and I'm not a Shumpert. Shumpert, inconsistent shooter, decent defensive player. He's the most important thing he's given them is minutes. Gerald Green can make a shot. I mean, right now, it's not even about production with Golden State. They need guys to come off their bench. They need bodies. They need somebody that can come off the bench that can play 20 minutes. Even if he doesn't score. Just allow me to rest Durant for a couple extra minutes, or Curry for a couple extra minutes, or Iguodala for a couple extra minutes to save him for Harden in the fourth quarter. They don't even have that right now. Steve Kerr doesn't trust, basically. Maybe he trusts Livingston a little bit, but Bogut's not playing big, not playing quality bench minutes. Though it's not, they don't even Jordan Bell. I mean, remember Jordan Bell had some good had. I thought Jordan Bell was played well last year in the postseason. He hasn't been a factor this year for whatever reason. I don't understand it. I thought Jordan Bell was tailor-made for what Golden State does. Athletic, can switch on to guards to be respectful in terms of guarding. In terms of guarding guards and switches, I don't know what happened to Jordan Bell, but losing JaVale McGee, David West, those guys had it's definitely hampered Golden State somewhat. But with all that being said, you had four All Stars. Yeah, four All Stars. You should not lose a series with four All-Stars in the prime of their careers. It just shouldn't happen. It really shouldn't. Like Houston, no one should beat Golden State currently as they are currently assembled. No one. Now taking them 7 games, 6 games, challenge them. That's one thing. No one should win 4 games in a series against that team. No one. But we'll see what happens tonight. Again, great doubleheader. We talked about the Sixers Raptors. As far as I'm not going to overreact to Denver Portland. Listen, Jokic is the best player in the series. Denver's guards have played better than I thought that they would play. I thought Lillard and McCollum would have a major advantage against Denver's guards. That hasn't been the case. Paul Millsap has had a flashback. He's looking like Atlanta All-Star Paul Millsap. And, give Denver credit. They've played great. Jokic is maybe a top 15 player. Top 12 player in the league right now. He's only 24 years old. This guy has been off the charts great. I mean, outside Durant, Kawhi, and the Greek Freak, Jokic is probably the fourth best player in the playoffs this year. So you have to certainly give him his just due for leading that team. I do think that series is going to 7 games though. I will never count out Portland. Lillard could have 40 in any game. The games have been, last night was an aberration. For the most part, the games have been close, well contested. Portland had their chances in Game 4, similar to Philadelphia against Toronto Game 4. But unlike Philadelphia and unlike Boston, I think Portland has a lot left in the tank to push it to a Game 7, in which way I think, excuse me, I think Denver will win the series and move on to the Western Conference Finals. So again, it should be a great night in the NBA. As far as other NBA news, Ty Lue has not agreed has yet to agree to a contract with the Lakers. I would say this: if you're the Lakers, and this would be my advice to Los Angeles Lakers, either shit or get off the pot. Who cares how much money Ty Lue makes? Why does money even matter? LeBron is coaching, will be coaching the team, and Ty Lue is not making any personnel decisions. So if he wants 5 years, 40 million, give him 5 years, 40 million. He has won a championship. Okay. You can say what you want. On his resume, he has a championship ring and 4 straight finals appearances. Period. Period. And coming back again, coming back from a 3-1 deficit against a team that won 73 games. No, 74 games, excuse me. I said, no, 73. 73. I didn't get that right. So I like money should not be an issue in regards to this situation with the Lakers and Ty Lue. I'm not sitting here make I'm not trying to make Ty Lue out here to be Pat Riley or Greg Popovich, but what I'm saying is you should be compensated for your past experience and your resume and the current landscape of available coaches. And if I compare my resume as a champion and a guy and a coach who's been to a finals, who went to the finals 4 straight years, my resume is superior to any other coaches out there that you can get. Monty Williams or whoever, Mark Jackson, whoever. So pay me according to what I'm deserve, what the money that I deserve. Pay me according to what I, my winning percentage, to what I have accomplished. I don't want to hear about, well, you had LeBron James, well, Phil Jackson had Kobe, LeBron, Shaq, and Scottie Pippen. Like, what are we talking about here? You need talent to win. But again, shit, I get off the pot. If you don't want Ty Lue, then don't, then move on. Move on to whoever you're going to sign. Monty Williams goes with the Suns. I thought, think that was a little, now again, the Suns have a lot of young talent. I think Booker can be an all-star. Ayton, DeAndre Ayton had a underrated rookie year. I think they have some very nice pieces. But again, that I would have waited. I'd still rather coach LeBron James, even with the Laker dysfunction and some cap space, rather than going to a place where it's 140 degrees and dysfunctional as well. Not like you're taking over the Kings. The Kings would be a perfect job if that were available. Luke Walton never getting that job, but let's say that, hypothetically speaking, that job were available. Young talent, don't have great expectations, not a big media market. Be a nice place to kind of carve your niche, get a team to the playoffs, you know. But dysfunctional organization, horrible culture. And again, Monty Williams, Brett Brown of the Sixers is on a hot seat right now, without question. He listen, they're gonna sign like three of those four players, three or four guys are gonna be back. Maybe even all four of them. Brett Brown, when they get eliminated, I don't anticipate that Brett Brown will be back next year as a Philadelphia 76ers head coach. And Monty Williams would have been, you know, like maybe they're probably the number one candidate. Or one of the top two or three candidates to take that job. I think he rushed a little bit. He rushed, you know, a bit too quickly to take that job. But again, congratulations. Listen, congratulations to him, Monty Williams. You know, considering what he's had to deal with in his life, wife tragically dying, he had. I remember when I watched Monty Williams play at Notre Dame way back when. He was a great college player. He had heart trouble before that, so he's overcome a lot of adversity over the course of his life to get to where he's at, as the head coach now, the newly new head coach of the Phoenix Suns. So there you go with the in terms of the NBA. Tonight should be a great night. I don't know how you feel, but right now I feel like there is a shift change in the NBA as far as the title this year and the future of the NBA. And these shift changes happen every so often. I felt this way in 2000 and in 99, Jordan retired for the second time. The NBA tight championship was up for grabs. San Antonio wins it, and it was started their, you know, not only their run of excellence with Duncan and Robinson and Ginobili, Parker, you know, Popovich. 2004, the last year of Shaq and Kobe, they when them they broke up, Again, I don't think the title was up for grabs. The Lakers were the favorites, but in essence, it kind of was up for grabs because we didn't know the dysfunction that existed within the Los Angeles Lakers with Shaq and Kobe, how much they were just they basically were done with each other, and you had that change. You had a change there. I would say the next one was 2011 when the Lakers were coming off back-to-back championships, three straight titles. But that team in 2011, there's no way they were getting back to another finals. They get swept by Dallas, Miami. LeBron kind of had to figure themselves. Figure it out from in terms of chemistry. They wasn't quite ready to win it. Dallas doesn't come out of nowhere, but Dallas takes advantage of an opportunity and redeems itself from 2006 and wins the championship. This year, I really feel that we are at the end of Golden State as we know it, that this is it with Golden State. And they are as vulnerable as they've ever been, especially in the Kevin Durant era. That started back in 2016, 17 season. And if I'm coming out the Eastern Conference, if I'm Toronto, Milwaukee, I don't fear, I without question feel like I can beat, I can take out Golden State. And if somehow Golden State loses to Houston, oh, what? It the title if Golden State loses to Houston, the NBA championship will be like the Iron Throne. I mean, it will be absolutely up for grabs. No one, and I mean no one, not Denver, not Portland, not Boston fears the Houston Rockets. Like that, you Boston Golden State loses, be like the Iron Throne. It would be just like the Iron Throne. Speaking of which. That I'm not gonna go too heavy into Thrones, but watching Thrones and looking at the NBA playoffs, wanted to make some comparisons and analogies to the characters and teams and players. Like to me, I'm looking at Kyrie Irving as Daenerys, like wanted to be the guy, wanted to be the king, the queen, the top dog. Not on that level. Not quite a number one. Daenerys cannot rule the Seven Kingdoms. If any, listen, Daenerys is gonna die. She's gonna die. She's not gonna rule. Daenerys is not gonna end up on the Iron Throne. It's not gonna happen. So the Kyrie to me is Daenerys. Golden State is the Starks. The most talent, but could blow up at any time. Could kill each other. Like Golden State, I mean Draymond and Klay's complaining about shots. Durant's probably, Durant, Draymond from earlier. They have the most talent. The Starks, think about it. Just Arya, Sansa's mind, Jon Snow, they have the most talent, but they're a little vulnerable right now. And who knows? Cersei would be the Sixers, right? So Sixers go out, they have great pieces. But they go out and get the golden company in terms of Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. But we know it's not going to work out. They have Cersei knows. Cersei knows she's going to die. We know, and we know Cersei is going to die. It's just a matter of how she goes out. It's a matter of how. Kawhi is Drogon. He's going to go out, but he's taking some people with him. Drogon, Daenerys' his top last dragon remaining, Drogon, is going to take a lot of people with him. He's going to die. They're going to kill Drogon, but he's taking a lot of people with him. Trust me. He's going out fighting. I can see Kawhi going out there against Milwaukee, averaging 35 and 10 and losing in 7 games. I can see that. I definitely can see that. Not going to win a championship, but going to go out with a fight. And the Iron Throne, the NBA championship, is up for grabs. It really is up for grabs right now. I haven't felt this since I would say 2015. I thought Golden State was the best team, but I wasn't quite sure that they were going to win it because they hadn't done it before. And you had, Cleveland was injured, so I didn't think Cleveland's gonna win it. Clippers, I never trusted the Clippers. I thought the Spurs possibly could win it. So I could, that was the last time that the NBA championship was really kind of up for grabs. It's been 4 or 5 years. It's been a good 4 years. I mean, Golden State has had the NBA on lock for that long period of time. It really, really has. Shout out to Tyra Banks. How about Tyra Banks, 45 years old, on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue at 45 and looking better than what she did in 1993 when she was only 19. Black don't crack. That's it. Black just does not crack. And by the way, I didn't know they changed it from February to May as far as when the swimsuit issue was released. I haven't seen a swimsuit issue, read a swimsuit issue in years, to be honest with you. I'll be just perfectly honest with you. I don't subscribe to Sports Illustrated. It happened for a long time now, but I just happened to see it on SI.com, and she looked good. She looked good. I mean, she picked up some pounds, but it's good weight. You can pick up good. You can have good weight. I mean, Rihanna picked up some good weight. So shout out to her. Also wanted to dedicate this podcast to one Andea who passed away last week or a few days back. I just want to say this, I try to come on here and I say I'm always talking about positive energy and just going out there doing what you love, living life, if like every day was your last day. I watched India basically in many ways grow up, and it is very painful to watch someone pass away who is younger than you. I mean, someone dies at the age of 85, 90, you're like, you know what, you had a good run, and eventually it was going to come to an end. You had a great run, but there's nothing more painful than watching and having someone pass away at an early age. But I will say that the interactions that I had with her, and the last time I saw her was during Christmas time. It was beautiful to watch someone handle their situation with the class and grace that she handled it with. And there's something to be said for that because it really put everything in perspective. If I'm complaining about something that's going on with the podcast or my job, and then look at what she was dealing with, then I should just, shut the fuck up and just, tough it out. So, rest in peace to her, to her family, condolences to them. And she definitely will be missed. And again, I was blessed to be able to know her, to be able to see her over the course of the Christmas of during Christmas time. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. As always, this is Cyril Gerald Quinn with the Real Deal Podcast, telling it like it is with no apologies. Thanks for listening. I'm out.